Well, welcome back to Carolina Focus on this 4th of July weekend. Carolina Focus is on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9 and 92.7, 610 Sports Radio, WFNZ. Carolina Focus is your public affairs show. It's a combination of original interviews and choice, yes, choice encore segments from the past week, along with Sharon Thorsland. I'm Ed Billick. Hey, coming up for the rest of the summer, we've got some great topics to review with you. How about the rental market here in the Charlotte area? Those rates, those monthly rates are going sky high. How about professional bull riding? You've ever heard of the Carolina Cowboys? Yes, folks, we do have a professional bull riding team here in the Carolinas. We hope to catch up with some of the people over there. And always some great health updates from Atrium Health. They always keep us up to speed on what's going on with infections, diseases, heart health, and, of course, COVID. All right, let's get started. Second half, Tom Blocker talks about full-service gas stations and other automotive tidbits with Bo Thompson right here on Carolina Focus.
We got a full tank of gas. Hit it.
You got more talent in one lug nut than a lot of cars have got in a whole bunch.
You got a one-way ticket to the open road.
This baby hits 88 miles per hour. You're going to see some serious shit.
Time to bring on our longtime auto expert, Tom Blocker. And right out of the gate here, I've been wanting to talk to you because we got into this conversation, Beth and I did, and our listeners last week on the show about whether or not you can still get the full service gas station treatment anywhere in the South. We got onto the subject in part because you have to still do that. There is no such thing as self-serve in New Jersey and also Oregon. A lot of people don't realize that. But here in the South, it's a bygone thing, at least for the most part. We had a few people calling in with a spot here or there, but my big question to you is, my car guy for all these years, do you know of a place where you can take your car and ride up and have them come out and do it all for you?
You know, I couldn't tell you of a place in Charlotte. I do know the only place that I've seen full service gas in the last, you know, couple of decades is in Kershaw, South Carolina.
Yeah.
When I go down to Carolina Motorsports Park, there's a Shell station in Kershaw, and they will literally come out, pump your gas, and clean your windshield. And they're just a bunch of good guys, you know. And on a Saturday, it'll be all the older fellas sitting around, you know, in their chairs out in front of the place. And it's just kind of an old country-type gas station and just super nice guys. That's the only place I know of. I don't know that I've seen one anywhere in Charlotte. One time I was going to a track day with my motorcycle. I had it in the trailer, and I stopped at that Shell station, and I had a five-gallon can. I was getting high test in it. That was all on the gas I bought, and they cleaned the windshield on my GMC Denali while they were putting 5 gallons of gas in my can. And I thought it was so cool. I said, I tell you what, I don't have time right now, but when I leave the track on my way back home, I'm going to stop here and let y'all fill up this big old Denali for me.
Yeah, see, they know what they're doing. That's customer service right there.
And, that's
and
right.
That
that's
ensures
right.
a repeat performance. So
they got me back. Yep. And they still do it. I mean, I've been there recently, and they're still pumping your gas for you.
Well, and back then, your gas can cost you, what, a few bucks? Now it costs you what it costs to fill up a car then.
Yeah, but five gallons worth of gas is 20 bucks now or 30 bucks. Yeah.
Well, and I knew you'd have an idea if there was one, and so that's good to know. And, you know, we were speculating about if there actually are any that offer that full service. I mean, retro is such a thing these days. You would think somebody would want to tap into that right now.
It's pretty amazing. And I know those states, I remember I was traveling up the turnpike a number of years ago, and in Jersey I was kind of shocked, you know, when we pulled off at a gas station and I get out and go over to the pump. My guy goes, "Oh no, I have to do that," you know. And I'm like, "Oh, really?" pretty big surprise.
Well, I have one other question related to this conversation left over from last week, but I'm going to save it for the end of this segment. And I think some listeners will kind of see where I'm going with this. But let's talk about the auto industry this week. You know, you and I were talking ahead of this conversation about the fact that, you know, in years past when you had gas prices not this high, but gas prices that were raised, you would see a gravitation of people towards smaller cars and because of the gas mileage. But this time around, and now here we have the highest prices we've seen in years, this time around, not so much.
yeah, we're hovering around, $5 as a national average now, and it's not really happening. Back in 08, there was a significant shift towards smaller vehicles, you know, people looking for those fuel-efficient cars and getting out of their trucks and getting out of their larger cars and getting into just as a good example, being with Hendrick, we had some Toyota dealerships, and, you know, a big dealership might sell 50 to 75 Camrys in an average month and maybe 25 Priuses. Well, back during 08, there were months when we'd sell 75 Priuses and 25 Camrys, you know, so, I mean, it would shift quite a bit. We're not seeing that at all this year, I think. And a lot of the reason, Bo, is that the midsize and compact SUVs in particular have grown so tremendously. That's the biggest segment in the market now, the compact SUVs. And they're getting like car-type fuel economy. You know, they're running four-cylinder turbocharged engines, and they're very, very efficient. So we're just not seeing that shift, even though if you've got a large vehicle right now and you fill it up, you know, you'll have yourself a $120 tab,
yeah,
you know,
no kidding,
at the pump. But we're not really seeing the shift this year, even though gas prices have jumped up there again. What has changed pretty dramatically just recently over the last year and a half or so is the average price of electric vehicles, and we've talked about how they're beginning to surge a bit. We're seeing increases in the number of electric vehicles being sold. The average price of a new EV in the U.S. is $54,000 right now, and that's up. That's $10,000 more than the average price of a gas-powered vehicle. So a big gap between gas and electric, you know, for a comparable size vehicle. And the biggest thing there, Bo, is just the raw materials have doubled in the past couple of years. Lithium, nickel, cobalt, you know, the primary materials that are used in the batteries. The battery pack is the largest and most expensive component of an electric vehicle. And that has really caused serious price hikes on a lot of the cars. Now, Ford has kind of kept the Mach-E price in check because, you know, they wanted to do some volume in that car, but they're saying they're not making money on it right now because the cost has gone up so much.
Okay, so to wrap things up here, you knew of at least one place of full-service gas that exists out there. Here, so Beth brought up this example last week about when she used to go to the full-service gas station, she would go inside and get a snack. And one of the go-to snacks was a bag of peanuts, a little like Lance or, you know, a little tiny 5-cent bag of peanuts, and then you'd take that and you'd pour it into your bottle of Coke. Have you ever done that? Like you drink the Coke and you have the peanuts at the same time?
I have not. Now, I've eaten peanuts when I drink a Coke or a beer or whatever. But,
separately,
I've never actually. Yeah, I've never put them in the bottle, but I've seen a lot of people do that.
Okay. Well, you haven't done it yourself, but you do know that it has happened around you.
It absolutely is a reality.
Okay.
I've seen it done, and I always kind of scratch my head a little bit about it. But I like peanuts, but I've never put them in the Coke bottle or whatever.
Yeah, you like peanuts and you like Coke in their proper places, which is what
I said.
So, all right, so I have an ally here. I knew I would. All right,
that's
man.
Right.
It's good
right.
to talk to you as always. I appreciate the knowledge.
Okay, buddy. Good talking to you, Bo.
Let's go ride.
All right, a little health tidbit for all of you. Here's Dr. John Szymanski. He's from the Sanger Heart Institute. He's a cardiologist. He's addressing those that have heart problems as well as those who have suffered COVID. Well, this message is important for all of us as we deal with the summer heat. And how do we stay hydrated? And what are the warning signs? All right, let's take a listen right here on Carolina Focus.
Yeah, for those who have not been exercising on a routine basis, they have to be a little bit more careful. Those who are highly active individuals are well attuned to their body. But for the weekend warriors, the people who exercise less frequently, really important to take time to warm up, cool down, try to avoid exercise in the most hot times of the day. Hydration is imperative, and preferentially with water. Sports drinks are okay, but there's nothing better than plain old water. And trying to minimize alcohol consumption around the times you're exercising. But symptoms to be obviously on the alert for, any discomfort in the chest, tightness, shortness of breath, erratic or irregular heartbeats. If you're used to exercising and you notice that your heart's increasing more than normal or takes a longer time to recover, those may be signs of problems. But by and large, you know, being sensible and listening to your body. I strongly advise patients during the time of their active inflammation and infection to really lay low, take it easy. Don't try to stress your body. Give yourself time to a period of where you're asymptomatic. And then as you're getting back into your exercise, doing it on a graduated basis and listening to the signs and symptoms that may be warning signs. We know there is a risk of long-term complications in the long haulers. That is defined as symptoms that persist beyond 12 weeks after the index infection. We have seen some recent research that's concerning, saying there may be a heightened risk. It's not inevitable that people will have cardiovascular complications after COVID, but the data is pretty clear that there is a heightened risk that lasts up to a year and probably beyond. And it's not just the people who are hospitalized with serious infection. There may be a heightened risk even in people with mild symptoms and illness. It doesn't mean that it's inevitable, though. But certainly if you have had COVID, that you have to be cognizant of symptoms. I've heard some people say, well, COVID infection is inevitable. And my message is don't let your guard down because there are clearly more complications related to infection. And the issue about whether or not to get vaccinated, you know, we've heard about the incidence of myocarditis, a myocardial or heart inflammation that occurs after vaccination. That incidence is very low. And certainly the benefits of vaccination far outweigh the risk of complications from the vaccination. So the prevention is worth the pound of cure for sure.
And speaking of Atrium Health and our own health, just announced this past week that Atrium Health's Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute has received a Center of Excellence designation from Kerecis. It's a medical device manufacturer for pioneering the use of fish skin and fatty acids in cellular therapy, if I pronounced that right, tissue regeneration and protection in patients with wounds that are difficult to heal. Sanger Heart and Vascular Institute surgeon Dr. Hector Crespo Sato is the first physician in the world to use fish skin technology called Surgibind, which is an implantable fish skin graft used to reinforce soft tissue where weakness exists. Once used on the battlefield to heal wounded soldiers, the technology is providing hope for patients at risk of complicated recovery and potential limb amputation. Good news out of Atrium Health's Sanger Heart Institute, using fish skin tissue. Amazing. All right, folks, we talked how you take care of your car, how you're taking care of your body, a little on wound repair at Atrium Health. Let's finish up. Tomorrow, Sky Show. It's big. It's big for WBT. It's big for the city of Charlotte. Here's Bo Thompson and Beth Trotman. Bo, let's start the history of Sky Show and WBT.
Well, it all started 47. No. How long do we have, Ed? Sky Show goes back to 1976, and a lot of this is fresh in my head.
Well, that's the 200th anniversary, wasn't it?
The country's bicentennial.
Yes.
And for the station's centennial, of course, I've spent a lot of time combing through that audio and that stuff and that lure over the last several months for what we did in April. And so I had the occasion to sort of go back through a lot of that. And, you know, I have audio of Bob Lacey back in 1976, you know, doing the intro for the first ever Sky Show celebration. At that point in time, it was not where it is now. It's kind of hopscotched across the city. Memorial Stadium, there was a time where they shot it off the Cameron Brown Building. There was a time where they shot them. It was like a street festival down the trade. Yeah. Tryon. And then now, of course, and this dates back to the last few years that the Charlotte Knights were in Fort Mill. Right. We started aligning with the Knights back, I guess, I want to say 13, 14 years now. And then, of course, when the Knights returned to, and I think, you know, the powers that be here had the idea that the Knights would eventually come back to Uptown.
Mm-hmm. And in a nice, beautiful stadium.
Yeah. And so when they did in 2014, then, of course, Sky Show shifted venues back to Charlotte. And now, ever since, they have shot the fireworks from the outfield at what is now Truist Field. And so you go back to 1976 all the way till now, Sky Show 2022 getting set. And it will be at Truist Field, and for the first time ever, Beth Troutman's going to join me.
There
so
you go, Beth.
I'm very excited about that.
Now, I'm excited. I was born and raised here in Charlotte, so I have seen Sky Show. I have been part of Sky Show as a spectator and as a patriotic citizen, but this is the first time that I get to do this.
Do you like fireworks?
Oh, my gosh. I was talking about it on our show this past week. I get emotional with fireworks. They make me teary-eyed.
With the music in the background and
yes,
all, yeah.
You can't help but feel patriotic, and the fact that Bo and I are going to be on the field and we're going to get to see this happen in that beautiful stadium with the skyline behind us, there's nothing that could make you feel more proud to be a Charlottean and more proud to be an American. And I've been trying to convince the folks at the stadium to let me light the fuse.
At the very least, I want them to have an isolated, I want Beth up on the Jumbotron so we can see her reaction while they shoot the fireworks off and, have those two images right beside each other.
Well, now, Bo, you got so much passion for this. Knowing you over all the years, this is one of the highlights of the year for you, isn't it?
I love the Sky Show event. It's the signature event for the station. Has been all the way back since 1976. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize in Greater Charlotte, a lot of people think the city of Charlotte puts this show on. That's not true. WBT and the Knights put this show on. And so this fireworks presentation that you see, which obviously, I mean, the best seat in the house is inside Truist Field. If you buy a ticket and you go in, you are guaranteed to have the best seat in the house because by virtue of where they're shot from. But, you know, anywhere in Uptown, you know, Romare Bearden Park has become, you know, prime property on Independence Day because of that. I mean, it's the field there, and it's a great venue. And then people go around the city and find their spots where they watch the fireworks. So it's one thing to be there at the venue, but the other part of the longstanding tradition that goes back to 1976, Ed, is the fact that wherever you are in the city and you turn on your radio, when the fireworks begin, you can hear the soundtrack track, which is simulcast on WBT. And so, and what you also may not realize, if you listen to me, you know this, but if you're you know, new to this whole Sky Show thing, yeah, it's music going on while the fireworks are going on. But the company that actually does this for us, one of the components of that is to actually sync the soundtrack to the fireworks. So I know this because I used to make the soundtrack. I did it four or five times back in the when I was
the whole production element of this thing.
So I would put together about 18 or 19 minutes of patriotic music montage together, and then you send that to the fireworks people. And one of the things that they do, in addition to actually firing off the fireworks, is they take it and they put computer digital cues within the music, which tells the fireworks, you know, when to shoot off. And so if you're watching it, it's not hyperbole to say that you're watching a sky show that is choreographed to music.
Isn't it? This is what I love about Bo Thompson. I mean, I'm sitting here. I'm in awe of all of the things that live inside of his brain and how much passion he has.
You learn something every time you hear him speak about
this.
It's
exactly
stuff.
Right.
There's cues in the fireworks to say, blast this song with Lee Greenwood or that one with whoever, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, I'm sure we'll hear both that night. I don't do the soundtrack anymore.
You know the program inside.
It'll find its way in.
We're all smarter this morning, Bo, or today, Bo, for having sat beside you for this.
Well, so what did I do? I said, hey, Beth, you need to come sit beside me. I'm pulling her into this. So that's the biggest compliment I could give anybody that works here is, hey, Bo, well, you know, you could interpret it, I guess, two ways. I'd interpret it as, you know, Beth, you're my new partner. If I'm part of this, I want you part of this. And some people may say, oh, but Bo's dragging her into this now.
Bo and Beth, how long is the show? I mean, it's after the game, right?
It is.
Before we get to anything going on before that, street parties or cocktails
or
baseball?
Here's what I know. So officially, every year before the fireworks in the afternoon, we broadcast, or I have always broadcast from somewhere. Sometimes it's outside in front of the stadium, like facing Romare Bearden Park. Last year, for the first time, it was actually inside on the concourse, which I thought was really cool. But really, wherever it is, I've done it from the press box before. Wherever they put you, there's people to talk to and people watching and people. I like pulling people onto the air and talking to them.
People to hug.
Yeah, people to hug. So that part of it starts at 4 o'clock. I don't have I don't have the exact itinerary outside of what I'm involved in, but I can tell you from a station standpoint, we start at 4 o'clock on the air. We go till 7. So you know that'll be a Monday special programming day. Beth and I won't be on in the morning because we'll be on in the afternoon.
Right, right.
We'll broadcast for 3 hours, and that's like you know it's a patriotic soundtrack to your day. And whatever you're doing, you know, we'll have special guests on. We'll have people on at the stadium. We'll play. We'll actually play full songs. You know, I mean, we've been known to play a Bruce Springsteen, you know, patriotic song, Lee Greenwood or two. And then we have some fun. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll be done on the air. And then somewhere around 9:45 or 10, it's a moving target because you're following a baseball game.
Absolutely,
so there have been years when there's been a tie in extra innings. There have been years when rain has been in the forecast. Last year, for the first time ever, like I've been there a number of years where things have been delayed, so you're starting it later, right? You're waiting for the game to end. Last year, the game ended early. And I remember they told me, they came to me because I'm with Ramona Holloway also from Mix 107.9, and she'll be out there with Beth and me. But Ramona, I've done this for almost 10 years together. And so last year was the first time where they came to us and the sun was still up.
Oh,
like it
see,
hadn't
yeah,
set
it's not
yet.
Dark yet.
So they couldn't shoot the fireworks yet. So they basically came to us and said, we need you to tap dance for about 45 minutes.
We need you to do a stand-up routine. That's why they brought me along this time,
yeah.
Just in case this happens. Yeah. I can tell random stories to the crowd.
And fill the time. Slot there.
So this basically means that the game is going to end at like, you know, like 4:30.
Exactly.
But at any rate, so back to the schedule, 4 to 7 p.m. on the air, and then the game starts, and it's not the Charlotte Knights this year.
Oh, no.
It's Team USA.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, not every minor league team can have a July 4th game. You have to have a road team, right? So this is the year or one of those years where the Knights are actually on the road, and they'll be doing, you know, a July 4th thing at a game where they're the visiting team. This year we have Team USA, and I don't know who their opponent is yet, but they're, you know, Team USA is in action. This is the team that, you know, if it were an Olympic year, would be playing in the Olympics.
So it's good baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and it's Team USA on the
cold
USA's
beverages,
birthday.
Hot dogs, everything, yeah. 4th of July.
So Team USA plays, and then when the game is over, we have a tradition we started several years back, and that's a flag ceremony on the field where we have listeners who are you know, active military or have served in the military, and they come out and they were introduced, and it's, you know, we always have all of the you know, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard represented, the armed forces. And so they get recognized, they get mentioned, and then we do the countdown. And then, you know, the biggest show of all happens. And I say to you, we do, WBT does, you know, weekend fireworks throughout the season. And it's a really good show.
Oh, yes. I've seen it, yeah.
It's
so
a really great. Good show when it's not July 4th.
But is this one on steroids then?
That I was about to say. Very, okay. Very, very well described. It's the usual fireworks on steroids. And there is no better place to be, not just in Charlotte, but in the Southeast than this show on Monday night.
Beth, it's going to be awesome.
I know. I'm going to cry. I'm going to hug people. I'm going to be patriotic. I'm going to light some fireworks.
Here we go. Guys, thank you for your time this morning. Monday, July 4th.
That's right.
Perfect.
That's
right. 3-day weekend.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, thank
you. All right,
you.
Guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, Charlotte. You and your family and your friends are invited to celebrate America's freedom at the best 4th of July fireworks show in the Southeast. America is back open, and we're celebrating with the return of WBT Sky Show. Monday, July 4th at Truist Field in Uptown. Come out and enjoy the fun of USA Baseball. And don't miss an amazing 4th of July fireworks show. Following the game, WBT Sky Show 2022. Sponsored by Audi Charlotte. For details, visit WBT.com.
Well, that does it for Carolina Focus. Along with Sharon Thorsland, I'm Ed Billick. Enjoy your 4th of July and happy Independence Day from both of us here on Carolina Focus.